I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to I'm Listening. This is a Frasier fan podcast. If you're not familiar, it's the second Frasier podcast of its kind, and I'm not going to tell you what the first one is. And as always, I always have a special guest, and today is no different. Today we have comedian and one of my favorite tweeters, Abby Crutchfield. Abby, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thanks, Anita. Great to be here. I'm excited to be a part of a Frasier fan podcast.
It's always exciting when I don't have to stalk people and ask them based on their, because usually a lot of the time it's, I've done some weird research and then reach out and go, do you like my podcast? But I believe you had expressed interest.
How did
to
you
me.
Find that? Oh, so I just heard that you do a Frasier podcast, yeah. And then I reached out to you because I need someone to talk with about it.
Right. And those are my favorite kinds of people.
Yeah.
Because I know you're the real deal.
We're out there. All right. People that enjoy a program, like binge watching it, and absolutely, then come back to it for fun. It's such a weird concept because I think storytellers work so hard to arc a whole season and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they think, okay, let's close that chapter and good work, everybody. And they pat themselves on the back. But now with the advent of binge watching, mm-hmm, it's more like you're just going to your favorite storybook as a kid.
Right. Well, and what's also nice about a show like this, and which I don't really think exists anymore, especially with like Netflix original series, is it's like one season is, you know, 10 episodes, maybe 8.
Oh, true. I didn't notice that.
But Frasier is so long.
Yeah, it's not 22. Or is it?
A lot. I mean, from what I've seen, a lot of like Netflix or streaming shows, mm-hmm, are not, like original streaming shows are not like 22 episodes.
Weird. I mean, I should know how this works, but is it because it's a 45-minute show? With commercials or no?
That's a really good question.
I've never paid attention to how long these last.
I mean, anything that I see that's 20 episodes plus, mm-hmm, from what I've noticed and from my knowledge only of what I watch, have come from television. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's like a contractual thing, and it's, I don't know if there's certain.
Right. I know that they can go into syndication if they last 5 seasons or 100 episodes, whichever comes first.
Oh, interesting.
So divide that, 5, you know, 100 by 5, what is, or was that in somewhere in the 20s?
Perhaps. I don't know much.
I'm a wordsmith. I am not a math smith.
That's fine. I'm definitely not a math smith.
Anyway, I should have done all my research on television.
Yeah, everyone has to know everything about the history of television before you come on here.
Anyway, my point is, no, I don't even know what my point was. Go on.
Well, my most important question is, well, I'm curious, how did you get into Frasier? What's your history?
I wish I could remember why I started watching it. Here's why I think I started watching it, which was over a year ago. I wanted to watch it top to bottom because I knew I watched Cheers growing up, and I think I noticed that Cheers was available streaming, and I couldn't get into it. And then I thought,
same.
And then I thought, and they made a spinoff show like based on one character, and he was not someone I noticed as a kid watching Cheers. I think I watched Cheers as a kid for Carla and definitely Sam and Diane and and Christy Alley's character's name, Rebecca.
Perhaps.
Who cares?
I didn't watch it.
All right, fine. I'm not crapping on Cheers at all. It's a classic for a reason, but it didn't tickle my funny bone. And so out of curiosity, I just went through like Taxi and other old shows and saw like even Who's the Boss and tried to see like what I liked about them. So Frasier, I didn't have high hopes for. I thought, okay, let's see how dated this show is. And probably from the first episode, I was laughing.
Yeah.
And I noticed it was really sharp with the jokes. And also the characters were so well-defined, I just kept wanting to learn more about them.
Yeah.
And you start to study like how their characters, what kind of arc their characters have, like how they grow.
Yeah, I so this feels like a very good place to tell you that less than a week ago, I went to see, they're doing like a reboot of Inside the Actors Studio, not with James Lipton. He is apparently 93 years old, which I did not know.
Very cool.
So there's a bit of a reboot with like different hosts coming in. So I went to a taping last week where Kelsey Grammer hosted, and he interviewed James Burrows, who directed a bunch of episodes of Cheers, Taxi, Frasier, every episode of Will and Grace. He's directed every episode of Will and Grace, Friends. So he's done a lot of
sitcoms. He's a busy man.
He's like pretty legendary. And he was talking about, you know, why Cheers is so legendary and why the pilot is so beloved.
Did you fall asleep during that part?
I didn't, but I watched the pilot and I watched a few episodes that were Frasier specific. My thing that I think is hard for me to get past is it's very like, I feel like bro-y is the wrong word, but it feels like to me it's a lot of Martins in the show.
It's so like a guy's guy.
It's a guy's guy's bar with lots of guy's guys. And then you have Frasier, which to me is like flipping that around, and you only have one norm per se, which is Frasier's dad, Martin, and everything. And it's like you're just going completely into his world versus Frasier on the outside looking into a boys sports bar.
Well, Frasier as like the yuppie is funny and a Cheers setting. So you wouldn't necessarily think it could work on its own, but you just really want to see him nerd out over stuff.
It's just a fully different
universe.
I was
just watching a Christmas episode today, and Niles was so distracted he didn't notice the layout of Frasier's village. Frasier was like, would you check out how I put out my little Christmas village? And Niles was like, I don't have time for that. And then at the end, Frasier snaps at him. He's like, you didn't even look at my village. And he goes, because it was so poorly laid out. Like, they just compete with how perfectionist they can both be. And like, who in the world cares about, you know, figurines besides, you know, little old ladies in the Midwest? So it's just so funny.
I love their competition. I did a full episode about their rivalry because there's some great episodes where it's them just fighting, or like they tried to write a book together.
And I like when they get together, though, actually, like the Crane brothers.
Oh, the Crane brothers.
It's funny to see them one up each other, but it's also funny to see them like build on each other, you know, like, oh, we should definitely check this out. Yes. And then get a parade for ourselves. They're like, well, who would we be to deny the parade? You know, they're so silly.
Totally. This seems like a good place. I want to ask you what your favorite episode is, because this is perhaps a controversial episode. Today's topic, we're going to talk about worst episodes of Frasier.
Yeah, the ones we don't care for.
That's right.
The ones we slog through or, hey, skip over.
And before, you know, if anyone's feeling offended, the reason I decided to go with this topic, because I was a bit hesitant. I was afraid, who knows, am I going to gain some enemies from doing this? But I posted in a Frasier fan group, what is your least favorite episode? And got hundreds of responses from people.
The more people love something, the harder they hate the things that fall short of the goals.
That's right.
I want to finish this thought because I was thinking while we were talking that I jumped into season 4 when I first gave Frasier a try. So he had already cut his hair.
Oh,
and
good.
They were all, everybody's, you know, chemistry was
perfect. In the groove.
So I was curious about how did this start, and I wasn't disappointed. Like, you know, just to see the build up towards it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess I feel like I started pretty early watching the show. Like, you didn't feel lost or anything,
right?
In season 4, because things don't really pick up, if that makes sense, until, like, you've seen the full show?
Yes, no? But I'm now watching it for the second time, top to bottom, and I just passed Niles's heart condition. They're in the Christmas episode, so I don't know how many remain.
Right. So there's still like 3 seasons left, possibly, because they get together at the end of season 7. But
okay, good. Maybe I'm in season 8 or end of 7 or something. I'm in 8.
As long as you start before season 7, I don't think there's much to catch up on.
Okay.
There's like, you know, Niles is constantly going back and forth with Maris. I feel like that's the only real thing that happens.
Okay.
Frasier has plenty of mishaps with women.
Which that was such a fun thing to see Niles as like the henpecked husband, but also kind of emasculated because he didn't have his own money. But then he comes into his own and he gets empowered. And it's so fun to see David Hyde Pierce play that version of Niles, too.
He blossoms.
But yeah, he does.
It is.
And you're rooting for him.
Yeah. No, it's interesting to also just see, like, also seeing him no longer be a person with, like, a secret crush. That's, like, such a big part
of
the show.
And you think, I would have guessed that that would wear thin. The will they, won't they? I lost interest with Jim and Pam. And thank goodness they got together because I was going to just give up on them. And that was quick.
Yeah.
But with Niles, like, carried it out, I think, 3-4 seasons?
7 seasons.
It took them all the way to season 7? And he liked her in season 1?
Yeah.
Wow. Like, they played that very well.
Episode. Oh, I was so impressed.
But, like, spinning tops, they came close and then spin away. So.
Oh, yeah. No, will they, won't they? And it was so fun to watch. I don't know any shows that can really do that anymore. Also, I don't know any shows that last that long anymore.
But there's that, too.
Yeah.
It's harder to do. And I'm sure that's hard for the writers, but also the actors who want to see where things go. But
sure.
They're, you know, you're cut off at the knees when a network decides you're not getting the ratings they want.
I don't know if you ever watched The X-Files.
I tried to watch that the same way. I didn't see it when it was on TV because it scared me. I was too young.
Yeah.
And then I checked into it and I thought it was really interesting, but I'm a little too scared to watch it all the way through.
And I get that. I think there are 2 different kinds of people in terms of scary stuff. I do love scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that says about me, but I do. I love a horror movie. I love a sci-fi. And so I was really into that show.
Mm-hmm.
And then people that, to me, are more in the norm, that are like, oh, yeah, that is obviously a scary thing. Why? It's like, why do you want to be scared?
Yeah, I don't. It's some people can remember that it's fake and just live in that false world and feel like, no, this is not real. So nothing's going to get me. But other people get absolutely absorbed.
Yeah.
And I think they just, like, all your body's reacting as if there's a ghost on the other side of your door.
I mean,
so, yeah,
I won't ruin it for you, but I will just say that there's some incredible chemistry between Fox and Mulder.
Well, that's what I did appreciate as an adult. I never picked up on that as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And so they may as well have been brother and sister. I didn't care about them. I just cared about the monster of the week.
Okay.
But now as an adult, I watch it and I'm like, wow, they're really good together.
They were so... I'm the same way. Like, if I've watched it more recently, I'm like, there is some sexy, just underneath things going on between the two of them. But before we move into our topic, I am curious. Do you have it? You don't even have to pick a number one of your favorite episodes.
That's so hard. I guess since I mentioned the Crane Boys and I just watched it recently, I will say that one of my favorite episodes, I love any episode with a comedy of errors, where like mistaken identity or what's happening here.
Farce.
Yeah. So I loved that they were digging through the floorboards of their old house because they were trying to solve the murder that they thought was committed by the old landlord.
Right. And they found
the
skull.
Whole episode opens with them playing with a skull as kids.
Yes.
Having lived in that house earlier. So I love that the audience is in on it. Like, when are they going to figure out that there was no murder?
And the Crane Boys.
And that's why it becomes funnier, because they keep doubling down on being convinced that they've solved this murder, you know?
Yeah.
And even they kind of teeter towards like, oh, we're idiots. What are we doing here? And you think, okay, the jig is up as the audience. But then they're like, you know, that guy could have done it. It was this guy, you know? So they just dig right back into the mystery. So it's super fun.
Do they end up sending that guy to prison?
No, they end up
all right, that's
being,
good.
You know, I think someone brings the truth to them, like either the landlord or their dad or somebody says, like, you guys always used to play Shakespeare. Or they stumble upon it themselves when they find the playbills. But either way, it's just the right timing of realizing, like, we've made a huge mistake.
Because I liked that episode, but for some reason, I haven't seen it in a while. And I was like, wait, does it end with him getting arrested?
There are some people. There's, like, a dinner party one where I think...
there's multiple.
There's a dinner party one where someone thinks that Niles has committed a murder because there's, a bloated seal on the back.
The seal who came to dinner. I did a full episode of this podcast about best dinner party episodes.
Oh, cool. And I don't even remember all of them.
That's way up there.
But one moment I remember I like as far as best episodes go is when Niles is trying to win Maris back, but she's already seeing Dr. Shankman,
Dr. Shankman, yeah.
And so he sneaks into a room that Dr. Shankman's already prepared, and they're both waiting for Maris. So he keeps walking in, spreading rose petals. Shankman comes in, spreads perfume. You know, like, it's just they keep taking turns.
Yeah.
It's just like a play.
Exactly. That's what's so fun about that show. Even with, like, the little title cards between each thing.
Oh, I didn't think about the title cards. Yeah.
It's very play-like.
Sometimes I don't even get the title cards, honestly. I try and I just don't get them.
I know, me neither. I don't think I actually get them either. Yeah. They just feel classy.
Yeah, they're fun. They're a fun vignette. It's a way to divide the show.
So
yeah, I like stuff like that. Crane Boy's Mystery. Boom. That's my favorite.
Crane Boy's Mystery. We had been emailing before the recording of this episode because I was curious to see what some of your picks were for episodes you're not a fan of. Mm-hmm. So the first one you sent me, and it's fun because also I like when people don't send me the title because I like to figure out if I can figure out which episode it is. It's quite easy. But so you sent me the one where the shock jocks prank him. I knew exactly what you're talking
about.
What's
it called?
It's called Radio Wars.
Ah.
So this episode it stars obviously Frasier and these two young, like, fratty-like guys who have a show called Carlos and the Chicken.
Yeah.
Who are,
I even hate that.
Of course, Carlos and the Chicken. And then they keep calling him and pranking him. So I'm curious, what didn't you like about this episode?
Okay, what I don't like about it, and this is a common theme in the episodes I don't care for, is when someone else gets the upper hand on Frasier. I don't like Bulldog, everybody thinking that he's funnier than Frasier.
Yeah.
Now, the actor that plays him, I think, is very talented, and I don't want to disparage any of the actors, but the characters that they had to inhabit are not my favorite.
Sure.
Like, I said his ex-girlfriend, Jean Smart's character that he ends up reconnecting with, and then her son. Oh, my gosh.
Lorna.
I can't stand them.
Lorna
or what's his name?
Lorna and Kirby.
Kirby. Oh, so annoying. It was like, it was the equivalent of a sitcom bringing in, like, a puppy to make people laugh or a little kid.
I agree
with
you.
To be precocious. I just thought, ugh, give me the sophisticated adults, please. But back to Carlos and the Chicken, I wanted him to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner, I think. I can't even remember if he ends up doing it.
He does. So what's interesting is there are what I love about Frasier, not even, I think this is something you notice when you've watched it as many times as I have. There is another episode where he also gets pranked, but it's by Bulldog. Mm-hmm. And both times he tries to get them back and it in a way backfires. This time he does kind of win. He writes a speech to, like, sort of, like, you know, show off, and Carlos and the Chicken end up getting in a fight.
Yeah, they fight within each other. And that's similar to another episode where he's got these young students that want to interview him for their radio show.
Yes.
And they have the upper hand for a while, but then Kirby, the one I supposedly don't like, he saves the day by giving him dirt on the young students, and then they turn on each other.
Yeah.
So that's like a similar way to resolve it. I guess if you're writing for TV, these are good episodes to learn, like, how the conflict gets resolved.
I think now, just thinking back to, this wasn't necessarily a prank episode, but one of my favorite episodes was with Christine Baranski, and she plays, was it Dr. Laura?
Oh,
no,
I hated her.
Dr. Nora. He ends up getting her back in a way he doesn't expect, which is,
exactly.
Or no, he tries to bring her mother.
Now that
back
I thought
together.
Was funny.
Oh,
because
that was so funny.
The way he wanted to resolve it, it didn't work out.
Right. Exactly.
Every other way, he's got a plan and it ends up playing to his strengths. But yeah, that one was a fun, like, turn.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Surprise. And it kind of adds insight into Christine Baranski's character. But let me say this real quick.
Yes.
Here's what I don't like about those. They're like a pile-on. So then Roz and Martin and Daphne all want to laugh at Frasier.
Right.
Instead of like being there for him.
Sure.
And I get that because he can't, it's hard for him to laugh at himself sometimes. And so that makes it fun. But I just like when they're with him, not against him.
Okay.
Niles can be against him, it's fine. But when everybody else is.
All right. So your thing is, it's kind of like, yeah, he doesn't have anyone really on his side.
Yeah. Same with the bulldog prank.
Yeah. Bulldog, yeah. You know, I actually just saw that actor whose name I can't remember. I just watched a show called The Mist. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix.
Don't spoil it if it's a thriller.
It's based on a Stephen King novel. Ooh. And it's 10 episodes. And it's about a mist that comes into town. it's a scary mist. And I didn't realize until I looked closer that Bulldog is in it playing a priest.
Neat.
He's got a beard. It was very...
Oh, he has a beard, yeah, too. Is his hair long?
No, okay. He's bald and he's got a white beard, and it was very jarring not to see him as Bulldog, just to think, oh, he's got range.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Kelsey Grammer said in some kind of, they did it on YouTube, there was like a best of celebration. So I think, gosh, what is his name? Anyway,
the guy
he had pink eye during the Olympics.
Oh, Bob Costas.
So Bob Costas conducted this interview, and they were talking. Kelsey Grammer said that he and the actor that played Bulldog came up together. Like in their
20s. I didn't know that. Did you know when you type in Bob Costas, it finishes the thought? It's pink eye.
Had pink eye at the Olympics.
Bob Costas, pink eye, and I honestly feel for him, but it was one of the funniest things that ever happened. Now, you brought up a great episode to dislike that I hadn't thought of in so long, which was from your email, the one where Zooey Deschanel is Roz's niece in town. Why does she make out with Kenny? Great question.
So many whys in that episode.
This episode's called Kissing Cousin. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Please enlighten me. What's do you dislike?
So she's the focal point of the entire episode. She's in every scene, and it drives me nuts. She's in maybe 80% of the scenes, and she is elitist, topping their elitism. So she's like, "That's so lame. That's so I'm over that." And
she talks like that.
Yeah,
too.
That's annoying too. He gets irritated by it, which is funny. It's a little taste of his own medicine, which I get why that's funny. But the other side game that I enjoyed more is that she looks up to Roz. And so even though she's looking down on Frasier and everything about their culture, Roz is the only thing cool to her. Right. So I like that it gave it some kind of balance. And also Roz wants to stay cool to her. So she goes out every night drinking with this young cousin and can't keep up. Like Roz is just exhausted. So
yeah.
So that part's fun.
I didn't realize this is in a later season. This is season 10.
So I feel like they could have made the whole show about that. But instead, they have this weird side plot where she connects with Kenny just by putting him down. And he puts himself down too. But he's separated from his wife.
Yeah.
And so it just cuts to them making out in his office.
Ew.
Because they agreed on travel or something.
I must have blocked that out. Also, do you know how old she's? Like, she's pretty young.
I know.
Right?
And there's nothing in his character. There's nothing desirable about him.
There isn't, which actually brings up, there is an episode where he is contemplating cheating on his wife.
Right.
Do you remember?
Played by Ileana Douglas.
Right. Yeah. I love her. And that's the same thing. I was like, wait. Kenny?
Right.
Has there ever been a moment where, to me, Kenny is the bumbling idiot character, would you say? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, where is this situation where Zooey Deschanel and other women, not including his wife.
Not only his wife who wants him back. Yeah.
It's
a head scratcher. And I mean, it's very typical of the era. The King of Queens had, physically mismatched partners, but also I thought they were emotionally mismatched. So it's like,
don't get me started on Kevin James. I started a petition once. It got 56 signatures. And it was when Kevin Can Wait got cast, which is another
song. Right, and they cast a wife that was so much
younger. She was hot. No, I shouldn't say hot. Just an attractive younger woman. Mm-hmm. And she was also in a show that I really liked on Adult Swim called Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her name, but I started a petition that was like, please stop casting two really hot women to play Kevin James's wife. And then that actress, whose name I can't remember, was really funny. She saw my petition and responded and she said something to the effect of like, hey, it's a paycheck. And I was like, touche. Then they killed her off.
Oh.
Did you know they killed her off?
She was worried that she was going to lose her job, and you made her lose her job.
No. Wow. I didn't. She was on for 2 seasons.
No, this is something. No, I think it's definitely an issue. I care more about mismatched ages in television, how men can just be as old as sin and then have women that should be in real life their granddaughters, but they're playing their wives.
It's crazy.
There's ageism because it's not just like saying that these men couldn't attract a woman like that, but it's saying that women of his age aren't worthy to be seen on TV. And it's like, excuse me? Similar with body types, you know? Mm-hmm. I think there's been some like physical matching with Roseanne and Mike and Molly and you know, and I don't, maybe Everybody Loves Raymond. I think he and his wife look like they kept the same physical routine. So there's that. It's not like couples have to match, but you want it to be I guess more believable of they share the same lifestyle, they met around the same time in their life, whether it was school or in real life. You know, that I think that's why it's such an affront to your psyche to see someone that's a little off, especially if it's not even talked about.
Oh, like absolutely.
There's no jokes about it, and it's just...
Yeah, it's just accepted.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if the whole point of the show was like, yeah, an old millionaire married a young model.
For sure.
Then they could make jokes about it, but it's just like, yeah, strange.
And well, so that... before I get to your next pick, that actually makes me think of, because it was on the, I have a list of people in a Frasier fan group. I'll keep everyone anonymous just in case, who listed their least favorite episodes. And one that came up a lot was Frasier and the Women, because there's an episode where Frasier, I think he's having a sort of a crisis because he, I think, breaks up with remember when Patricia Clarkson is on?
Yes.
The Perfect Woman.
She's just fine. And then Jean Smart's character, Lorna or somebody.
Right. He decides he likes Lorna, which makes no sense because he already decided he didn't like her in a previous season. Mm-hmm. But he has some sort of crisis and ends up going to his father's cabin where suddenly all of his ex-wives and every woman he's ever dated appears.
Right.
And there's a shot where he opens the door and there's like 20 women there. And that shot, for me, it sticks with me. I'm like... how does he date? That's the universe,
including
again.
The neighbor in a towel.
The neighbor in the towel. Multiple models.
That didn't bother me until recently. I saw a tweet that was like, no way in the world can Frasier date this many attractive women. Like somebody just thought that wasn't realistic.
Yeah.
I thought up till then they wrote it all sensibly.
Hmm.
You know, people who are looking for love are constantly out there. And even Frasier constantly says, I don't want to be set up with anybody. He likes to meet people organically.
Sure.
And so the writers always give him a scenario in which he can meet someone. Like, remember this woman randomly left him a voicemail?
Yes.
And he's like, wow, she sounds perfect for me. I should go meet her at the airport and tell her friend that she meant to call is not picking her up.
Played by Linda Hamilton.
That's
from
right.
Terminator.
That's right. And then they realistically made it not work out because it's like, hello, this can't be that perfect. Just because we click doesn't mean my life is all set up to go run away with you.
That actually does lead into another very good episode, which is when he meets the supermodel zoologist, played by Cela Ward.
I forgot about that. And no one believes him that he's dating a supermodel.
Exactly.
So,
and that I like that nobody believes he's dating a supermodel.
Yeah. And my husband was saying, you know, he didn't say the character of Frasier, but I'm going to say it. The character of Frasier is not that attractive.
No.
I mean, I think it's okay if, you know, Kelsey Grammer is not your type. Obviously, he's had partners in his life who find him beautiful. But I don't think it's just about superficial looks. I think maybe when you're watching TV, that's what it's about. But if you're absorbed in the world, you understand that he's really a well-rounded, really great catch. He's got his own show. He's very sophisticated. He's got great taste. He's warm. He loves his family. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got everything set up for being a good catch, except, I guess, in that episode that people hate, he has to explore what's the psychology behind why I can't seem to hang on to somebody.
Sure. Though, he's a bit self-absorbed for my taste.
True.
So
true. And and then sometimes they heighten, like turn up his persnicketiness.
Oh, for sure. I would take a Niles any day.
You should do an episode about like least favorite girlfriends that he's had, or relationship dynamics that he's had. Because I did not care for the one with Terry
Hatcher.
Yeah,
that episode kind of reminded me of like early manic pixie dream girl, where it's like the fact that she's very pretty. That's a given. But like what makes her so quirky is that she has like OCD.
Right.
That's like her whole personality.
And then Niles discovers what attracts Frasier to her is that he can fix her or get a chance to really flex his muscles, which I totally can relate to that. It's so funny to think about. Well, just like think about certain friends you hang out with who bring out a certain side of you.
Sure.
Like, oh, this person makes me feel hilarious, you know?
I guess that's true. I didn't think of it that way.
So, but in Frasier's case, it's to a fault. It's kind of like, okay, you don't really like them for them. You just like what they can do for you. But yeah, I thought, I don't know. I think they're so clever. So in that one, Frasier and the women, I thought, yeah, it's a little heady and it doesn't change location. But no. You get to see the women be funny. Like, they give the women a lot of funny lines.
I love Lilith. Lilith I always is great. Love a Lilith
episode. I even
love
Rita Wilson as the mom. Like
Rita Wilson?
Yeah, as the woman that he dated that looked just like his mom. That episode was so funny.
It was good. And it was – I also like sometimes the show does get earnest mm-hmm. in a way that to me is believable. Like yeah. how they all miss her mom, like Hester.
Yeah, and also like when Niles had the heart scare, like how they all thought about traumatic times they were in the hospital.
It's intense. So on your list, we did talk about it briefly, but I am fully on board with you for disliking this episode or episodes. So you said the ones with the lady from Designing Women and her bumbling son. I knew exactly what you're talking about. There is an episode called Passing Fancy. Frasier's study sessions with Lannis on Kirby are not going well, which threatens his chances of ever seeing Claire again. He learns that Kirby isn't studying because he's not over some girl, and then basically if he gets good grades, he promises that Roz will go to prom with Kirby.
Right, which in today's 2019, past the Me Too movement, that doesn't
That's
work
not
anymore.
Happening.
They even try to acknowledge it. She's like, hey, I'm not some bargaining chip, but truly, it's just beneath everybody.
I mean, for me, at the root of all of this, yeah, Kirby, I am not a fan as a character. He definitely felt like a plot device, but like very obviously so.
And a caricature. He was not realistic in any way.
Like I feel like he was supposed to be like a dumb teenager, but he kind of had like a surfer vibe. I don't know. And it just.
Right. It did not click.
It wasn't really matching up. And I think this is even before Frasier has his crisis where he decides he likes Lana. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, yeah, that doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, it just kept feeling like they were cramming Kirby down my throat. Like him again. I like how he saved the day, you know, in that one episode. And I liked how he was, his father came back to get back together with Lana, and it happened to be someone that Frasier had given advice to informally by accident. So then I liked when Kirby was like, you're trying to break up my parents or whatever.
Yeah, you know,
like that was a little realistic in the teen whiny mode. But
sure.
But anything else where he was just, yeah. The punchline. I just didn't care for it.
So this feels like a good segue for one of my least favorite picks, because I feel like that felt weird when they end up making Frasier like Lorna. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when he and Roz get together?
Yeah, I remember when they almost got together and didn't, and I was relieved.
I loved that episode. I thought that was a great episode.
And then they pretty much just forced them together without even warning me
right.
in a different episode.
Now, I will say I like that after they slept together, like both acknowledged, especially Roz was like, it wasn't good. It was not good, mm-hmm. Which I liked. But then he gets together with Laura Linney's character. Is it Laura Linney? No, it might be someone else.
Oh, Laura Linney was one of his?
Oh, yeah. Laura Linney was one of the, I think is the final.
Oh, good. She's coming.
Oh, okay. Right. So, no, sorry. She's not in this episode. In this one, I believe it's Felicity Huffman.
Oh, my gosh. Her, too?
Yeah.
I barely remember her.
So this is the plot of this one is unsettled by Frasier's burgeoning relationship with Julia, played by Felicity Huffman, Roz reverses her decision to leave KACL, but issues an ultimatum to Frasier, dump Julia or they're no longer friends.
Oh my gosh, this is like spoilers for me, even though I've already seen this top to bottom. No, I just, it's coming up.
It's coming and like.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like Roz, does it?
It doesn't sound like Roz. That was like, why? And like, it's so, when it happens, it really is this moment where they're in Frasier's apartment and Roz is like, it's either her or me. And I was just like, this would never happen.
I know. I don't even get why they
like why
got together after they already had the organic moment where they almost slept together because they could see. You know how sometimes friendship does turn into like, oh, I really do care about you. Is this also a romantic feeling? And then you have to decide, no, not really.
I've heard about it from other people.
That's not been your problem.
You know, it's like. I want to say that in the end, it's good. I still have all of my male friends, but there were definitely girls growing up that it would happen to them a lot.
Well, I think that in
but
my
I
mind,
get what you're saying.
I haven't had that real, like a real like conversation with someone, but in my mind, if I'm getting along really well with a, what do you call it when you guys are neutral?
Platonic
friend.
Mm-hmm.
I think, if I was stranded on an island with this person, could we ever fall in love? And then I think, yeah, I probably could. It's something like that. It's some weird, I don't know what that is.
I know what you mean. I feel like, I'm trying to think if I've ever, there are male friends of mine that I'm so close to that it almost feels like, I'm also an only child. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly, I love being like, you're like my sibling, yeah. You're like my cousin. And it's like my favorite thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I see what you mean. But yes, I would say I don't fully remember what led to all of this happening, but it definitely didn't feel. Roz is very chill too. Mm-hmm. Like her character before this, like to me, a Roz thing would be she would have moved on from, you know, sleeping with Frasier on to the next thing and wouldn't.
Right. And for Roz's, I would just rewrite her whole life. Like, I loved how she was sexually empowered. Then when she had the kid scare, I love how she was like, well, this is new. Why don't I say yes to this and find out what happens? And mm-hmm. then she was a great mom because Roz has heart.
Totally.
And then she found the bad guy from Ghost. Oh, and Scandal, obviously. He's more known as the president from Scandal.
The president from Scandal. I know who you're talking about.
So he collects garbage, and she has this like conflict, like, I can't date a guy like this. But then she falls in love with him. I wish they would have just kept her with him. But for some reason, they just broke up, maybe because that actor moved on to Scandal.
They needed more plot.
Maybe.
To stay all the way through season 11.
And didn't want to add another house regular or somebody. But I don't know. I just feel like she was on track to having grown as a person, but then when that guy leaves, then she's all over the place.
Yeah.
She's all over the map.
I also found it hard to believe, because I think she had an issue with him being a garbage man. Mm-hmm. That also doesn't seem like something, because she talks about guys she dated in the past. Like, she dated a guy who, that was one of my favorite episodes, when Frasier has to write a theme song for his show.
Yes.
And she's dating this musician who he can't really play any instruments. Mm-hmm. And then he ends up playing the triangle.
Exactly. And did she have Alice at that point or not?
No.
Okay, so maybe she's just now looking for a father figure or something, and that's why she has standards. Maybe that's what the writers thought for her. But I like her being not elitist. Yeah,
me too.
She doesn't sweat that kind of small stuff.
I'm a fan of that. So I would say the thing about me, which we can get into for some of these fan picks, in terms of like least favorite episodes, most of them all fall post Niles and Daphne. I think for me, that was like a lot of the drive mm-hmm. of me watching that show. Not that I didn't love watching all the farce, but it seemed like I'm going to give you an example. One of my least favorite episodes is on here, and it's called, and this was pointed out to me by a Frasier fan,
mm-hmm.
which is Niles has a patient that falls in love with him via transference, mm-hmm. which essentially is like this idea that you fall in love with your therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells Daphne this, and then, wow, I'm so proud of myself. I'm doing this from memory. And so she feels really threatened to the point that she starts stalking this woman and like ends up in her office.
Yes,
and I'm like,
I remember
that doesn't
it.
Feel like something she would do.
Roz was with her too.
But the B plot for this episode is, and it's on IMDb, I thought it was Caught in the Act, it's called The First Temptation of Daphne. That's mm-hmm. the name of the episode. So the B plot is, and I'm going to read this directly from IMDb. Meanwhile, Frasier is taunted by a rather chirpy cricket. That is his entire B plot. There is a cricket in the apartment, and him and Martin are trying to get the cricket.
Yes, that's like, right. And they come up with different ways to.
That's right.
And that bothered you?
It didn't feel for me like a strong enough B plot, if I'm being fully honest.
Because I have no problem with that. I even remember the button at the end was that they bought a gecko to eat the cricket and kept him on a leash so he wouldn't run away. And while they're waiting for the gecko to do his work, the camera pans down to the end of the leash where it leads right to Eddie's mouth. So it's like everything that goes on in their household, I love like the day-to-day monotony stuff.
I think I'm going to have to, because I tend to go in cycles. I end up rewatching a lot of my favorite episodes fully out of order mm-hmm. between season 1 and 7.
Funny.
And then I'll start all the way from the beginning, get uh-huh. to 7, and I'm like, okay, let's do this. I really have not spent that much time.
Like 7.
No. Oh, no, I love 7. I mean, sorry, after season 7.
Yeah.
The end of season 7 is when Daphne runs off from Donnie.
Okay, yeah.
And then we begin season 8.
Even the Daphne Donnie, oh my gosh, it's just great. But wait.
Go on, yes.
No, I think I didn't know if we finished your thought about the Temptation of Daphne. Oh, you were saying the crickets not strong.
Felt like a weak B plot to me.
Fine.
If I'm being super annoying and picky. But the exception to all of this is an episode I don't like. That's pre season 7, which is There's Something About Dr. Mary.
Yeah, so, that was hard to watch the first time around. The second time around, I had a little more empathy for her.
I think when I watched this episode the first time, I mean, I started watching the show in, you know, I'm not going to say I appreciated it back then, but I was watching it when it was on.
Cool. So must-see TV.
Must-see TV. And I didn't think about why this episode was so uncomfortable until I got much older. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a, as many 90s sitcoms are, it's a very white show. Mm-hmm. And this was an episode where they try and tackle race. And similarly.
And white guilt, in a way.
And white guilt. Definitely white guilt. There's actually another episode that not necessarily coincides, but that a lot of fans disliked, which was the one about Bob. There's an episode where Frasier tries to make friends, mm-hmm. and he ends up making friends with a guy who happens to be in a wheelchair. He doesn't like this guy, but yeah. he's afraid that if he says anything, he's going to think it's because of the wheelchair.
And why do people not like that one?
Bob is a very, in my opinion, I get why they don't like Bob. Bob is a very annoying character. Everyone that wrote that they didn't like this episode called it, you know, Frasier and the barbecue guy.
I love that guy. Is it Dominic Dunn, but his son? His last name is Dunn. Griffin Dunn, I think is his name.
Yeah.
And he has been a caller, like he's called in before.
Oh.
I noticed because at the end of the season, they always give the headshots of the actors who called in. But I think he plays that so well. He's so obnoxious.
He's really good, and I do wonder if that's why, because when I think about it, I don't particularly love that episode, and it could be because he plays that character so well. Mm-hmm. I love that they added the squeak of his wheelchair, so mm-hmm. you knew he was coming. I don't necessarily think that was them
that's
saying...
so funny.
But similarly, there's this thing of Frasier's... Like, in the Dr. Mary episode, there was the white guilt, and then in this episode, it's like... A guilt about people that are disabled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like ableism, I guess.
But the Dr. Mary, the Dr. Mary episode, I think probably the most cringeworthy part is when he tries to have a conversation with Martin and they role play mm-hmm. of how he can talk to her about the fact that he doesn't really like her.
And then does Martin assume a black woman?
No, Frasier does. Okay. Frasier pretends to be a black woman and does. Whew, a very.
I don't even remember that part.
Uncomfortable. Just really cringeworthy, him pretending his interpretation of a black woman.
And which you've seen many, many times on Mad TV. And like, no, I'm telling you, I'm agreeing with you. Those are never fun to see. And I've seen them through the years. And there's even in 2019, a man that independently made his own film and has been pushing it. And it's
the Loquisha.
I
saw the trailer.
Yeah, he is unable to get a job on a radio station, so he pretends to be a black woman because black women are getting all the work these days.
Of course.
This myth. And so, I thought what you didn't like about There's Something About Mary is how she one-ups him, because that's what I don't like. Any character that's new that comes on and is supposed to be getting more laughs than Frasier is what bothers me.
Interesting.
His behavior is what gets the most laughs in my mind.
Sure.
And I also thought it was a little cringeworthy at the end when he comes clean about why he was jealous of her.
Yeah.
It's not your place to be jealous. You know, like, and she shouldn't need to forgive that.
For sure.
Like, you're bigoted in some way. You know, like, you're entitled or whatever you call it. You're exercising your white privilege to squeeze me out. And luckily, she got another show. But I feel like she's way too forgiving of him in that moment.
I fully agree with
you. Like, he says, you know, I'm sorry I was such a jerk. It's just because I was this way. And she should say, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you're an established professional.
Right. Take a look in the mirror.
You shouldn't be threatened by me. Like, in real world, that's what would have happened. But instead, she's like, oh, baby, that's okay. I got another show coming, so it's fine.
Yeah.
And I thought, who in the world behaves that way?
And they bring her back. Do you remember?
Yeah, they do. For the parade.
The parade episode.
And it's the same dynamic all over again.
Basically.
She steals his thunder.
It also really is uncomfortable. I agree with you. Separately from that, the cringeworthiness of that is the fact that he, as a character, is so visibly uncomfortable through the whole thing. And it's also very unpleasant.
Yeah, because it's like, the 90s way of handling race was, it appeared to be very progressive and self-congratulatory. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they thought they were doing it in the most open way possible. But after you've already had All in the Family, it feels like a step backwards.
Mm.
I don't know what happened in the 80s, maybe Dynasty or something. Like, everything was just way too yuppie white, and conservatism was really popular. But Blacks disappeared again.
Yeah.
And then when they resurfaced in the 90s, it was like, we're always very cool. We always have the last word. Mm-hmm. We're very funny. And maybe it was that way too in the 70s, but at least in the 70s, it was like, we're still obviously discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the 90s, post-affirmative action, it was like, well, blacks now have an equal footing, so... And it's like, we don't, though. They still don't.
You know, the thing that I wonder about, too, is like, I, you know, All in the Family, perhaps I would have watched it if I had access to it, but it was on before me, and I didn't have cable, so
yeah,
I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, Nick at Night is where I saw it.
I never had Nick at Night. This is why I watched Frasier, because mm-hmm. it was on Must See TV, and mm-hmm. I didn't have cable. But I'm curious, especially with, you know, tackling race, it's like I'm picturing a lot of writing rooms that were probably like all white. Too,
well, for
I
sure. Yeah. And it doesn't, being white doesn't preclude you from caring about race and racial equality, but it does predispose you to not needing to think about it at all.
Sure.
So obviously, and then there's flat out racist people out there. Let's not forget them who have their job and also like being racist. So I think, yeah, it just makes it. The chance for actual representation and actual ways that black people think and talk and behave mm. and three-dimensional black characters, it just makes it that much harder for them to
yeah.
appear. But I wouldn't say that I wish I remembered her name because I performed on the Apollo stage when she was there. The one who plays Dr. Mary from Living Single. Do you remember her name in real life?
I
tip of my tongue.
Can look it up.
Fine. St. Clair from Living Single.
I'm just going to look up. That's a show.
So that woman,
yeah.
I wouldn't say that she made a mistake taking on that role, or any person of color who's been on Seinfeld. Kim Coles, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did a wonderful job with that character, gave it tons of heart, played the comedy up, she got all her laughs. You know,
yeah.
like, it's more of, like you said, is it black women writing her role? I doubt it.
I don't think so.
It's hard to know. I mean, it'd be worth it to review who the writers were, but, I mean, that's still the case for a lot of writer rooms today. We know that.
We know that.
You have to be told when there's women and people of color.
Oh, they've got
and
to,
people.
They've got to make it public.
LGBTQ,
it's like,
yeah,
it's got to be,
yeah.
exactly. I feel like now people openly are like, let's announce this.
Yeah, because it's not a given.
Exactly, exactly.
But yeah. But yeah, I think it wasn't, I don't think, as bad as Seinfeld was. Frasier wasn't. For being an all-white cast.
Sure. Well, Frasier also, and I've talked about this in my episode, The Queerness of Frasier. Mm-hmm. We're talking about sort of their handling of gay characters and gay plot lines.
Yeah.
I mean, there were writers, including Joe Keenan, who is amazing. And he's written many of probably both of our favorite episodes, mm-hmm. including The Ski Lodge. I love that episode.
Oh, yeah. That's a big comedy of errors, right? Where everybody's just... interested in everybody?
Yeah.
Like
I should,
a love triangle or a love parallelogram?
I should send you an article. There was one that just came out that somebody wrote for Daily Beast, basically talking in honor of Pride. And he's a queer writer. It was like, he talked about why Frasier's one of the gayest shows ever in like a good way.
Right. But Joe Keenan is a gay writer from the show?
Yeah, an executive producer.
Interesting, because I thought it wasn't handled well with regard to Gil, like always wanting him to come out of the closet.
Oh, the Gil, I will say I was disappointed in the how they sort of, what happened with Gil's character. But specifically, there's an episode, I think it's called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which won a GLAAD award.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the episode where... there's a station manager that Frasier wants to set Daphne up with who's gay
mm-hmm.
and thinks that he's asking for, like, he thinks Frasier's gay and
right.
he's asking him out on a date.
Right. And then Martin has to pretend to be.
That's a different episode
that's
where
a
Martin.
Different episode?
There are multiple episodes.
Oh, okay.
There are multiple episodes.
That's the other one where, oh, yeah, that's where Martin doesn't want to date a woman. So he
yes.
pretends to
so
be
he pretends
gay,
to be
and
gay.
Then she tries to fix him up with her gay friend.
Out with dad.
Yeah, and then Niles ends up coming over, and Martin pretends that he's his young lover. It's so bizarre.
I know too much.
Okay, yeah. So sometimes they did it well, and other times I think just don't stand the test of time. Like the misogynist jokes against Raj. Like
of
all
course.
The, Raj,
yes.
all the slut shaming.
Bulldog
doesn't work today.
As a character.
Yeah, Bulldog in general being misogynist, that's not cute.
Definitely
and
not
then
cute.
Gil trying to force him out of the closet or not taking him for his word when he says he's heterosexual is just like, you know.
Sure.
It's trying to say that, like, oh, he's clearly a closet case, and that's to be judged,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, unless it's instead of being having compassion around it, you know?
I know what you mean. So I've got some fan least favorites here that I would love to get into, and I've got some really fun comments I enjoy on some of these episodes. So there's an episode that I saw a few people posted in the comments about least favorite episodes. I want to show you the picture for this, see if it ring any bells.
Oh my gosh, it doesn't at all. It must be.
There's an episode called Caught in the Act that's from season 11.
I'm looking at Roz in a green beret clapping.
That is actually his ex-wife played by his, I believe it might be his first ex-wife played by Laurie Metcalf. It is Laurie Metcalf.
What?
Places.
This is further than I am yet then, so isn't it? There's season 11, yeah, I'm not there yet. And then Fraser is dressed
as a baby.
As a baby, he's topless and he's got a baby bonnet on and a big diaper.
All right, so then this is going to really freak you out. So this person posted they didn't like Caught in the Act. The one where he's doing it with his ex-wife, who we've barely heard about, and then ends up on stage in a baby costume. Fraser. Because she has... So I won't ruin the whole plot for you. I will just say that she has a children's show.
Okay.
That as his ex-wife has a children's show and she goes by Nanny G.
Okay. Is she also supposed to be the hippie from Frasier and the Women that he picks up on the side of the road?
If that's the case, then it's very confusing because that character's played by, not by Laurie Metcalf.
Exactly. I felt like they introduced her out of nowhere and only in that episode. They're like, oh yeah, he had a first wife and here she is. And you're like, who cares?
You barely hear about her. I will just say that there is a very cringeworthy scene that involves him dressed as a baby, pretending to be a baby.
That's all
I'll tell you.
Oh, that's so hard to think about.
I know. It is very hard. It's very hard to think about. Okay. There is a somebody's name kept coming up that people don't like. Any episodes with Anne Hodges, which didn't ring a bell to me.
Okay.
But then I found this episode. This is also after your time. After your time.
Rats. Okay,
so this is another season 11. So Anne Hodges is a character. This is a friend of Roz who is divorced. Feels very much like a stereotype of a woman who is divorced and desperate for love. Mm-hmm. And basically, Roz tries to set this woman, Anne Hodges, up with Fraser because he hasn't been with a woman in a long time. Mm-hmm. And Roz refers to her as, oh, while you're looking for Miss Wright, this is a placeholder for you. Which, as a concept, I really don't like.
Right. Why would you do that to your friend?
Right. And I've also noticed she's age appropriate for him, too. And I honestly feel like that is part of her not appeal. Mm-hmm. That she's like a woman that I would say probably matches up to him attractiveness wise. Because usually,
well, can I see this character?
So you would recognize her. She was actually on SNL, Julia Sweeney.
Oh, Julia Sweeney.
Yes.
Yeah, so Anne Hodges is the character.
And she's so funny. Julia Sweeney's so funny. And I think she's just like very misused in her plot line as Anne Hodges. Anne Hodges,
I guess I'll have to watch the comedic tone of it.
Because
she's so good at comedy.
She kind of plays like a naggy, like desperate divorcee who's okay. like, and oh. And
well, maybe that's why the audience wants her to be a placeholder. They don't want her to be with him long term because.
You're right. Like, so her episode is the placeholder. So somebody says, any episode with Anne Hodges. Oh, she makes. Yeah. Anything with Anne Hodges and her god-awful ravioli. Because apparently she can't cook. And that's like a really.
That's supposed to be funny.
That's a big issue.
Okay. I never liked that they didn't let Daphne be a good cook. I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think the henpecked husband trope of like, oh, this woman can't do her domestic duty is so stupid. But maybe they thought it was funny because she's in home care, so maybe she should know how to, or is it because she's British?
So I kind of got the idea that it was a British thing that they were making fun of.
One time she even goes, I made you guys a shepherd's pie, and they're like, oh, but that'll be good. And I'm like, shepherd pie is delicious.
I love shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie is the best.
And then she uses it to her advantage sometimes, which I love. Like, she tries to get them out of the house when she wants to have a date, so right. She says she's making haggis.
Yeah.
Which is like stomach. So like, yeah, that would get me out of the house.
Yeah, well, that's funny. British cuisine that we aren't used to is one thing, but I guess shepherd's pie they hadn't had here in the States yet, or at least not in Seattle.
That's right.
But I love it.
So, not surprisingly, there are a lot of picks from people from post season 8. It truly is not a surprise to me.
All right.
So I wanted to pick one that I considered controversial. There were a few people that picked. I just love the name of this episode, which I think you've seen. It's called Roz and the Schnoz.
Oh, I liked Roz and the Schnoz. They didn't like that.
I did too.
That's season 5.
That is season 5. I was trying to see, and I actually asked in the comments this morning why people didn't like that episode.
Although I could guess why. you know.
I'd like to hear what. Why would you? Why do you think people wouldn't like that episode?
Well, I think picking out a big nose is kind of synonymous with anti-Semitic commentary. The way picking out big lips is synonymous with like discriminatory against blacks. So it's kind of like if you have a natural feature that happens not to fit in with another culture, like a racial group, then that's not that funny. But in this episode, they didn't make them Jewish, I don't believe.
No.
They would know better. Hello.
I think so.
But also, they made them bigger than any normal person's nose.
Right.
They could have done the ears.
They could
have. There are no cultures known for their huge ears.
Part of me wonders if they picked nose because there were so many jokes.
Yeah. And the word schnoz, isn't that Yiddish or, excuse me, I don't know if it's Yiddish, but it sounds like Jewish shorthand. Hello, I'm not Jewish, listeners.
Hebrew?
My mother's
Jewish, listeners, and that means I'm Jewish. And I think it's very sweet that you said excuse me after you said Yiddish, because that's a thing, Yiddish. But I get
it is a language, but I don't know if I'm...
You don't know it?
There is a difference between, like, you know, I know you hear words coming up.
Sure, I get it. What I'm saying is it makes sense. If schnoz is a Jewish thing, I could understand why it would be, because you've got the word like schlep.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Schmear.
Schmutz. You got schmutz on your face. So is schnoz Jewish? I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe. But I could understand if, and the other thing is it's very much picking on somebody for having a big nose.
Right.
But I did really love this episode.
It was funny just to see people trying not to point it out when it's so obvious.
Yes.
And the people didn't even, the people with the big noses did not point out to themselves that they have big noses.
I also like the gag on any episode in that show where there's something going on and people are like telling secrets about something in the kitchen as if you couldn't hear them. There's no door. There's no like walls. Everything's like a shelf. You'd be able to hear anything. And I just love that.
In real life.
Yeah. That's to me, that's what makes it feel very theater-ish.
Yes.
The fact that, you know.
Yeah. No, you can't hear anything. Suspend your disbelief on, yeah.
Or how long people disappear into the bathroom when
they're
waiting.
They'll even have asides in the same room with each other.
Oh, sure. You know, yeah. Like, on separate.
Just pouring the sherry while someone's sitting on the couch and they'll say it. And you're like.
It's a sitcom gag I've seen on other shows. Like Friends is another good example where when people are like, I need privacy. And they're like, okay. And they'll like turn around. Can't hear you anymore.
Right.
That's one of my favorites.
Okay. So people didn't care for Roz and the schnoz.
I think we have time for one more. Let's see. So a lot of people picked Cracktails. I think this is before your time, but I want to show you some important pictures from this episode. So Cracktails is the penultimate episode of the show because the series finale was two parts. So this episode, Cracktails, was fully a flashback episode.
Ugh,
Frasier
those
finds,
are hard. I don't like flashback episodes.
But here's the twist on it. Mm-hmm. So Frasier finds an earthenware crock in his kitchen that brings back memories. So this is they recreate the flashbacks. As in, this is not a flashback episode where they're looking at
footage.
Here's greatest clips. Not at all. This is to me.
So the older people have to don fake wigs.
This episode I didn't necessarily care for until Anthony Oliveira, who has been on this podcast twice, who I love. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find you pictures. He calls this the wig episode. Because of all the wigs.
Sure. In order to recapture their younger selves.
Oh, like this one, if you can't tell.
Oh, they've added extensions to Frasier to give him longer hair.
And it's so uncomfortable because it's like these characters are obvious. 11 years older.
Yeah.
And the wigs are just the worst. And that's why I love it.
The wig episode.
It's great. So for me.
Okay, I look forward to Cracktails. Ooh, that is funny.
Cracktails is fully my favorite.
Anything that takes you out of the realness of the world is hard.
Absolutely. But, you know, listeners, if anyone, again, is feeling offended, this comes all from a place of love. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like this show is a family, is a sibling to me. So obviously you're not going to like everything about your sibling, but you love them.
You're such an only child that even a show is your sibling.
Oh my God. That's the first time I've ever said that, but yeah, I am. Are you an only child?
No, I have an older sister and two older brothers.
So as a person with siblings, out of curiosity, as we wrap up, do you ever like when you watch the show and you did say you happen to love the dynamic between Frasier and Niles, mm-hmm. does it ever make you think of the fact that you have siblings or sibling rivalry, or it's just a separate thing that you like? You're not like, that's just like me and my sister.
It doesn't, I think because they're men, I don't immediately think of my relationship with her, but I will say there are parallels for sure. Like, they're very close. They like to spend time together as adults. They have common interests. I feel that way about my sister.
Okay.
We're not competitive because our strengths are completely different. Mm-hmm. I just don't think of myself as competitive with her at all. And I'm in the constant, like, looking up to her mode still. So,
mm-hmm.
and she admires me and she always tells me that she's proud of me and stuff like that. But I still am like, wow. Goals, you know, like how she behaves in the workplace and how empowered she is. And yeah, she's a go-getter. She's awesome.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I like that lady. She knows it, though. She's already heard this.
And this is right. You have that, and TV shows are my siblings. And I also like to call all my friends my siblings.
But imagine she went into comedy. That would be pretty competitive.
That would
and
be
Frasier and his brother are both psychiatrists.
That, yes, which provides a really great place to start with all the competition.
I'm sure you've said this in your two seasons, now third. Mm-hmm. But how amazing is it that Kelsey Grammer and David Hyde Pierce resemble each other?
Oh, it's insane.
I love that.
It's crazy. And even like I watched an old episode just because someone told me to watch an episode of Cheers that's like starring Frasier, basically. Mm-hmm. Young Frasier looks very much like Niles.
Wow.
Because he's like he's thinner for sure. And he has more hair, and it's a bit jarring, and it makes a joke make more sense because there's an episode where Sam from Frasier or from Cheers comes on the show uh-huh. on Frasier, and he makes a joke the first time he sees Niles that's something to the effect of like, wow, like, you know, this is your doppelganger. Mm-hmm. And that joke didn't really make sense until I watched an old episode, and
that's
I was like,
so cool.
Oh my God. It is frightening.
David Hyde Pierce ever appear on Cheers as a random patron?
He didn't, but Martin did.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love that crossover stuff, like, because these are just working actors, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I see it a lot in Murder, She Wrote and Dynasty, I noticed, like, now that I'm getting back into, I tried to get back into Dynasty. I couldn't make it all the way through.
Is Murder, She Wrote on Netflix?
It's on Amazon Prime all right. Video now. It used to be on Netflix.
I think that might be a good show for me to check out.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so loyal to it. I'm in my fifth version of watching it top to bottom.
Wow.
I'm now memorizing the titles, which I wish I couldn't because I like forgetting who did what so that I can watch it again. But when it went off of Netflix, I watched it on YouTube. And so mm-hmm. I had to watch it cropped and sped up. And then it came on Prime again. And it's like, and it's all its beautiful glory and HD. So I love it.
I can't wait. I'm definitely going
to
check it out.
You have to.
If you can believe it, we have not gotten through every single least favorite episode of yours, mine, and fans of Frasier.
Guys.
But hey, maybe we'll do a second episode. Who knows?
Yeah, part two.
Yeah. Do you like this episode? Do you want to hear more about least favorite episodes? Leave a comment when this episode comes out. Tweet me at Anita Jutina. But Abby, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for letting me nerd out about Frasier.
I'm so glad you
did.
It's
a great show.
Is there anything you want to plug?
Oh, yeah. Everybody, we can tell jokes together on Twitter. You can follow me at Curly Comedy or on Instagram at Curly Comedy. And if you'd like to see me perform live, I'm in New York City and hopefully we'll be appearing on television soon.
I believe it. Fingers crossed. Hey, they're doing that Frasier reboot or maybe revival.
I know. I wish I had just said positive things so that if anybody does any research and hears this, they will be like, oh, she's the woman that gets us. She needs to be hired to be Dr. Mary's niece.
Or I could see you being a good producer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually on the show?
Like playing.
Oh, you mean in the radio station?
Yeah, like playing a producer.
Heck yeah.
I don't know who's producer, but someone's
producer.
Hey, I
would just love to bump into Frasier in the hallway on the way to the vending machine.
I would like to be, I've said this multiple times, if anyone's listening, I would happy to just be an extra at Cafe Nervosa.
Oh, you know who didn't mention is Mercedes Rule as his boss, and they also had like a love. Do you remember she had dark hair?
Not really.
I loved their chemistry. I just loved her arc. She was only in a few episodes.
Mercedes Rule?
She was the mom on Big. But anyway, the fact that it didn't work out between them, like the way it had to end, was so sad.
Okay, yes, I do. Oh, I love her. Oh, my
Wasn't
God, Kate.
Great?
Oh, my God, I'm obsessed with Kate. I could talk about her forever. But on that note, thank you. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and thanks for being here, Abby. Good night, Seattle. Stay tuned for a new episode of I'm Listening on November 26th, where my guest will be Elliot Glazer.